listeners, and welcome to Garden Planet.
You're with
Karen
and Selena.
And welcome back. Now, today's topic, it's really going to throw a spanner in the works, actually, because a few topics back, we were discussing no-lawn gardening.
Yes.
If you recall, which was a fun topic. And we're going to go totally 180 on you. Okay. And the topic, I'll give you a clue. It is to do with grass. I've already given you that clue in the first place, lawn. And I'm not referring to the current referendum discussions on grass. No, it's not that sort of grass, although we have discussed that before. I'm not going to be talking about cutting back on the grass. Even we've done the no lawn gardening. Today is grow your lawn gardening.
Mm.
The complete opposite. And I was inspired to get into this topic from a podcast I came across on the national radio. So thank you, William Ray, who was the man who, produced it. I never know. Is it National Radio that produces it, and
he hosted it?
It's from the show called An Our Changing World.
Okay.
And it's a regular sort of spot on that radio station. So I have totally plagiarised some of his stuff. Thank you very much, William Ray. Shout out to you.
So this is our Garden Planet take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there will be one. And Selena's going to be discussing the biggest grass in the world.
Oh, yes. I'll keep you posted on
okay,
that.
Okay, you have to wait and see for that. So you're going to have to endure about 20 minutes first.
My theme for this show was going to be called Let It Grow.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So many ways. I've called it meadow gardening. There's a number of things you can call this. There's actually something, I'll get into it and then you'll see what I mean. So we're heading towards summer now, people, and the warm weather that goes hand in hand with the fortnightly lawn mowing for lots of New Zealanders. But according to William Ray, a number of ecologists are encouraging Kiwis to cut down on cutting the grass. The no-mow movement, also referred to as grow your lawn gardening, is believed to benefit people, plants, animals and the climate.
Hooray!
That's awesome. A win-win for all.
Yay.
Yeah, I like mowing the lawns, but sometimes I don't. I like lawns. Lawns have been around for a long time. Well, not actually, a long time for me, but not long in the grand scheme. Only back to the 17th century.
Okay.
Where aristocrats had lawns cut by hand using scissors or, I'm not sure, scythes?
Scythes?
Scythes. Are those things that you swing?
Yeah, huge long blades of...
Is that what the Grim Reaper holds?
Yeah, those sorts of things.
Okay. And having a lawn was a sign that you had enough money to own useless land. Today the lawn is not so uncommon, and lawns account for 15 to 20% of most urban areas in New Zealand.
Mm.
Mm. So... So William Ray had a discussion with ecologist Bruce Burns, who works at Auckland University.
Yeah.
He specialises in human-modified environments, and he firmly believes that longer lawns increase plant biodiversity, reduce stormwater runoff, and provide habitat and food for native animals.
That's all very good reasons.
Yeah.
Did he suggest just not cutting it so often, or... Still cutting it, though.
No, he just basically suggests letting it go. And here are some reasons why.
Okay.
Obviously, the ecological standpoint is a big one.
Yeah.
But also, having so much lawn is not cheap. Aucklanders spend, they did a study, $131 million on lawn upkeep every year. So that's for the petrol, the mowers, the weed eaters, the oil that goes with it, Some people
True.
Even use, like, pesticides and fertilisers and all that. Some people really go nuts with it. But yeah, I guess it all does add up, doesn't it?
And if you're not mowing yourself, you might pay someone else to do it.
Mm. Councils spend even more than $131 million. Can you imagine on the upkeep of public parks, berms and walkways?
Yeah, I can believe that.
So it's big money keeping grass at bay. It really is. I mean, when I think about the amount of kaikoura grass I've pulled up down at the community garden, it's a lot of time and energy to maintain it and keep it at bay.
Okay.
And then the ecological costs of lawns also need to be considered. A study in Australia found that lawn mowing accounted for 5% of carbon dioxide emissions over one weekend. And then there's the hydrocarbon emissions to consider. Burns says cutting grass produces green leaf volatiles, a cocktail of organic chemicals responsible for that fresh cut grass smell. And it is these volatiles that oxidise and contribute to greenhouse gases. They're the same sort of volatiles that are released, say, if you cut a plant and then they release those chemicals to warn, like, predators and that kind of thing. The interesting gases. So, of course, you know, that smell is, like, alarming.
Okay. So I'm thinking, like, before lawnmowers were invented, the electric or petrol kind, what did they do? They used sheep or rabbits or goats.
Yeah, goats are good. Oh. After having this, I had a discussion with Pierre, the man of the house, about it, and he said, oh, we've got to get a goat. We've always wanted a goat. And, like, it might keep the neighbours' kids off our lawn as well. Because they can get very territorial, believe me. and the same study in Australia revealed that one weekend in Melbourne, the volatiles released by cutting grass contributed to 11% of hydrocarbons in the air. So it is...
Not to mention the noise.
And the noise pollution. Yeah, but I don't really... mind the sound of lawn mowers, to be honest.
I'm very sensitive personally.
Are you? And you work in a school?
The library is meant to be quiet, but
I remember taking Pierre, like, through the school one lunchtime, because he came to, I think he brought me my lunch or something, and he was just like, nope, gotta go, I cannot handle this. Anyway, so, yeah, that's interesting. Since 2014, the Auckland Botanic Gardens has been running a meadow trial.
Yeah, how's that going?
Which simply puts an area of lawn, is an area of lawn which is mowed only twice a year. So to answer your question about mowing frequency, twice a year?
Okay.
But you wouldn't... I don't know if you'd be able to mow it. You'd probably just have to weed eat it, because we used to do that to our property used to just get when we were young and too busy to maintain properties. We used to get so long that a lawnmower wasn't even an option.
No.
Yeah.
It's like cutting a huge long... Oh, I don't know. It's not
like
a shave where you have to shave it off. You're going to have to actually... dig through it.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, the trial is just a part of the garden's focus on sustainable horticulture and involves a combination of judicious weeding, so there you go, and so you just kind of pick out certain things that you want out and leave the plants that you want to encourage.
Okay. Maybe they might just mow, like, a path through.
Well, that's another thing I was going to mention. And they also deliberately, at the Botanic Gardens, reduce soil fertility in areas. I guess that just attracts certain species that, like, I mean, for instance, your dandelions would be thriving because they seem to thrive in places where there's nothing.
Okay.
They put their taproot down and away they go, you know. So, yeah, that was interesting. When left untreated by herbicide, lawns can contain dozens of plant species, grasses, ferns, mosses and so forth.
Mm.
And lawns in Auckland in particular are really diverse based on whether the area is dry or wet, fertile or infertile, sloped or flat, sunny or in the shade.
Okay.
So we've got a bit of...
I wonder what would happen if, say, my property, which is lawn...
Flat and sunny
and left to grow. I did a little study on what plants are actually in my lawn.
Yeah.
Some of it's kaikuyu, and then there seems to be lots of plantain.
Those
dandelions and daisies. Not so much paspalum. I've noticed in our orchard at the community garden, we've got a lot of that, and when we let it grow, there's just everywhere.
Which one's that again?
It's a grass type, but it's got really long seed heads.
Oh, yeah.
And... I call them bouncy wouncies because you pick them and the cat plays with them.
I'm just showing Selena a picture of the botanical.
It looks like there's plantain at the front, and then it seems to have yarrow type or wild carrot.
That could be that. Queen's lace, Queen Anne's lace.
But it looks all right. I mean, good food for the bees and. Beneficial insects.
Yeah. So there are some good arguments against turning every lawn into a meadow, though. I thought I'd better sort of raise those because long dry grass is a very significant fire risk. That's a little bit of an issue. So they aren't a good option for places which are drought prone and not good near houses. And I've never ever thought it's good to have gardens and grasses and that sort of thing, any sort of, or a tree too close to a building. I've always thought that. I'm a big fan of, I grew up in the Waikato rurally, and we have lots of paddocks and some areas dry long grass, especially at certain times of the year. And, back in the day, you would have your house sort of away from all of that. And there would be a close-cut lawn around it.
Yeah.
And then you have your trees and your paddocks and gardens and that kind of thing. Mm. And that, to me, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Your house gets a lot more light as well that way.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I just think you've got to be sensible with it. Also, meadows make a good habitat for rats and mice. Mm-hmm. So it's important to keep on top of predator trapping.
Unless you have a cat, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Just let the cats roam. They'd love it. And, of course, we need to keep lawns short in some areas for recreational purposes.
Like playing rugby or cricket.
Yeah. It's nice to have a nice lawn for in some areas.
So maybe just certain areas.
If you go to a big city, take London, a lot of it's built up. There's very little lawn. There might be a few little gardens here and there for those people that are still... garden, and then they'll have dedicated little areas,
the village green
lawns, where you can sit and relax and whatever.
Well, they called it the commons, didn't they? The village green, where there was probably outside the town hall or something.
So nice, yeah.
And then they have the picnics and the fete days and the coconut shy or whatever it was.
We just seem to New Zealand, especially Auckland, I think it's nationwide. We just tend to sprawl. And I don't know if that's because we've got the space, it's not like England where there's how many people, 70 million people on one island.
I think the housing boom back after the war when all these people died, but then they wanted the population to get back on its feet. So sections were actually quarter acre sections, every section was. And that gave you enough land to raise your family.
And yet that's not really applicable anymore because
changed. The rules have changed.
And people can't be bothered anymore maintaining, and that's understandable, if you're working long hours and you've got family and stuff like that.
I'm not thinking it's that people can't be bothered, it's because of the economy of... No, the whole... It hasn't been sustainable that you can think, lovely to have a quarter acre section and your own home and everything. But you reach a certain point where, the children grow up and leave and then...
you just don't... I see it.
You don't have time.
I noticed during the lockdown, a lot of my neighbours, who busy people, some of them, really got stuck into their properties, kept the gardens beautiful, cleaned them up,
yeah.
you know, just tidied everything up. And it was because they had time. Yeah. As soon as the lockdown came to an end, we're back to, like, the gardens just not being tended. Oh, sorry. I'm silent.
We need, like, a 3 or 4 day week, and then you have, like...
Yeah, so I understand. It can be get out of hand. And, of course, when your life gets busy, it's always, I'll clean the yard up when as soon as I've got a day off or I've got, you know, and all these things. Like, I just think around our house, things that need fixing, just little things, and it's like... You know, I'm forever saying to Pierre, when are you going to take a day off and put the bloody knob on the door and fix the gate?
He'll say,
and,
you know, I'll
it's always the last thing to get done. Like
I'll get round to it.
Yeah.
I'll get round to it. So, you know. Where's your round to
it? I understand. So meadow gardening or grow your lawn gardening is probably a really cool idea for some these sorts of people, you know? But the biggest barrier... is public opinion, because we have grown up aligning close-clipped lawns with care and tidiness.
True.
And they did a survey in Auckland, and something like 80% of people said, yes, I do notice when my neighbour doesn't mow their lawn. And I notice, I'm like, oh, you know, number 36 hasn't, they're letting it go, you know, it's sort of like you do, and it's, yeah. But there are ways to overcome the opposition towards longer lawns. For instance, by letting your neighbours know what you are doing.
Yes.
Simple communication. This lady that, I can't remember her name, was in the podcast, she's a big advocate for Graylin. September this year, Auckland Council announced the new no-mow pilot at Graylin Park, and she was the big... one that
have a look at that.
Apparently it looks amazing, but yeah, she did the same thing on her personal property and then she caught her neighbour mowing her front lawn one day.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, because you thought, oh, poor lady, you know, she's obviously on drugs or something or, you know, it's just too unwell. Whatever, just decided, I can't take this anymore. I'm bloody slacker. I'm doing it myself, you know. And she was like, no, that's my meadow. What are you doing? Yeah, so it's so funny.
Sounds like when people in the 60s started growing their hair long.
Yeah, it does.
And the parents were like, no, cut it short. That's like rebellious.
It is. It's like it's rebellious gardening. Yeah, it's funny as. So just talk to them and let them know that you're not caring less, that you're caring more, okay? That you're actually thinking about the environment. Explain to them, you know, the science behind it. And use signals that show the garden is being cared for. For instance, mow a pretty winding path through your meadow, like you were saying. And use signage saying this garden is for bugs or something along those lines. So, yeah, just make it like, you know, this is like meant to be, you know, it's all good. I'll mow it in 6 months' time, okay?
What they've done on Rotorua Island and in the Hauraki Gulf, they have areas of grass or lawn that they've just let grow because it provides habitat for... skinks and geckos.
Yeah.
And even kaikou would grow. And they go, why aren't you getting rid of the kaikou? Oh, it's for them to hide
in. Yeah. And they even leave trees just to rot that are falling down. I'm like, oh, you're going to cut it up? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
No way.
And apparently the takahe love it. And they need that sort of coverage.
Yeah.
And actually, takahe eat the grass. So they're kind of like that island's sheep.
And then what happens is the grass has kind of come down after a while anyway, once the bigger shrubs and trees take over.
Yeah.
And it all kind of just falls into place and it just becomes its own little...
ecosystem. Yeah. So there needs to be a little balance there. And the thing with meadow gardening in, say, places like Britain, and they've been doing it for a while, they found that... plants will naturalize and they'll come and go with the season. So one season you might all have poppies and then another you'll have like cornflowers.
Oh, wow. And it's just left.
And it's just
untended.
Left and they sort of naturalize.
That's so cool.
But then there's places like down in South Island where it's a bit drier, they have all these lupins.
Yeah, yeah.
You know those wild lupins? And they're beautiful in the spring, but they've just gone wild. So, and just left to do their thing.
I don't know if I was discussing it with you, but I might have read it somewhere. I heard it somewhere about, these seeds that will just kind of stay under the ground for years and years and years.
Yeah.
You don't even know they're there.
Until they have the opportunity.
And then the right rainfall, the right everything. And then all of a sudden, there's a field of, it was this lady that from Israel that was telling us about the land over there. And, of course, those lands are very arid in places.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, and then all of a sudden, no bull, all of a sudden you just see this huge field of these, I can't remember what flower it was, blue flowers pop up overnight.
Wow.
And she just said it's just amazing what creation can do sometimes.
Mm.
Now, talking of amazing, we should probably slip in the plant of the week.
Okay.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Yes, an onion.
Okay, our plant of the week is one of the tallest grasses known to mankind. It is the bamboo.
I reckon this is something you could put in your meadow to give it a bit of
bit of height,
know? A bit of variation, and, bit of diversity. Why not?
And lots of animals and can hide in there.
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, so bamboo has had a little bit of a shady reputation.
Really?
For being invasive.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but
yeah,
you can get non-invasive varieties, which are known as the clumping varieties. So if you are going to grow it, make sure that it is clumping, which means it will keep to itself.
Mm.
The invasive ones sort of run along and they have these rhizomes everywhere. They sort of spread everywhere, like kokiu, but more giant.
Right, yeah.
But with the clumping, they'll just sort of stay in their own posse.
And I've often thought about those invasive or any bamboo. It's, I'm sure you're going to touch on this. It's a really special plant. It's really strong.
Yep.
Doesn't break down very easily. And someone told me, does it burn? Someone said it doesn't even burn that easily.
Well, if it's green, no. If it's dry, maybe. But yeah.
Great for steaks for that reason.
Yeah. So the wonderful thing about bamboo in general is apparently provides 35% more oxygen than, say, the forest do.
Really?
It's a great photosynthesizer.
Really?
So
it doesn't seem like it's got that many leaves. It's all the green stalks as well, I suppose.
It's got leaves. I suppose you're looking at it when it's stripped of them.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just little, okay.
Yeah. So actually is quite a sustainable plant to grow. It grows very fast.
Mm.
And it can grow, like the biggest ones can grow up to 50 metres.
Wow.
According to the Guinness Book of Records, it's like the tallest that it can get.
That's like how many stories high?
That's as high as a sky shell.
That's really high.
Yeah. maybe not the sky shell. But
I was thinking when you said that, I was thinking like a high-rise building.
Yes.
Because I think most buildings are about 4 or 5 metres, so that's like a 10-storey.
Okay, so
that's crazy.
You probably wouldn't want to grow a whole meadow of bamboo unless you've got the land to do it.
Unless you want a forest.
But they are very good for hedging and privacy, and if you've got a little bit of space, especially like apartment buildings or rooftop gardens, provide that privacy or screening that you need.
A lot of people use bamboo, especially people that live in the forest, not as many people that But it's for housing and stuff, don't
Absolutely.
They? And you can use it for fencing.
Yep, housing and fencing. They use it as scaffolding, which
is just
as strong as steel and aluminium in China and other Asian countries, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Easily harvestable. And countries are looking into it as a resource rather than seeing it as a pest.
Mm.
And, of course, you can eat the shoots.
Exactly. We've got to start thinking more like that.
And then not only that, it can be used for fibre. Like you might have seen like rayon clothing.
Oh, yeah.
And bamboo clothing.
Yes, it is.
Very
I have seen
soft.
That.
And as an alternative to cotton.
Yeah.
So that can be processed that way. So there's lots of uses. Chopsticks, musical instruments, bike tubes, you know.
Probably tubing.
It can be used for roof tiles.
It sounds similar to hemp, which is something we're going to be
so
talking about
uses.
Soon. Like just, real diverse and a real sustainable plant to grow, like as opposed to cotton, which I love cotton, but apparently it is quite... It's not the most sustainable products.
Yeah, the good thing about bamboo, it doesn't need any pesticides or chemical fertilizers.
So it's, nothing
you
will
don't
kill
need
it.
To add anything. All it needs is sort of, just general good drain, moist soil. So and then you can also, I've seen the lucky bamboo. It's like a symbol of, good luck for Asian culture.
Okay.
And also in Japanese and Chinese cultures.
Yeah.
It's a well-loved plant.
Wow.
So don't turn
and
your noses...
And pandas love it too.
Yeah, don't turn your noses up at bamboo. And there's all different varieties. I guess you need to go and have a look at them and take your pick.
Okay.
So they're very graceful. But one recommended was a mozo bamboo. Apparently that's very lovely.
Okay.
If it flowers, which it will only do like once in a blue moon, like it will get very old before it flowers, like 65 to 120 years.
Oh, wow. That is a late bloomer.
Yeah. and then apparently it will die because then it's reached the end of its life. But it's quite a long-lived plant.
Yeah.
And you think of grasses, you usually don't let them flower because you're always cutting them, right? This one, it will last like that long.
Wow.
And you can grow them in containers. So if you don't have a lot of space, they won't take as much land space as a tree does.
Hmm. So, I've never really considered growing bamboo.
Quite versatile plant.
It sounds like something I could work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe consider it. It gives a lovely Asian feel to your garden.
And just if you, like had it in a pot, you could place the pots or containers somewhere where you just want like a bit of greenery or maybe a bit of, it just breaks up the space a bit. You could, and it's easy care.
And if you were doing like a grove or something, you could just do a little path through the middle and it's just lovely to walk through.
Yeah. Do you need to water it much? I can't remember.
Just to get it established and then it pretty takes care of itself.
Okay, so it'd be all right if I forgot it for a while. Sweet.
Yeah.
So love
it. Bamboo.
Yay. Well, thanks for sharing. That was awesome. I feel quite inspired now the bamboo.
Yeah.
I've never really found it to be the most inspiring plant. Just because, my bad, I didn't really take the time.
No, you got to kind of think, notice it a bit more.
It's not
the weed that people think.
Well, I didn't think of it as a weed. I mean, because I'm a herb lover. Like, I love, all plants. But, I didn't really pay too much. So thank you for sharing that today. And what a great topic to share it with. And thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Happy gardening, everyone.
Enjoy your meadows.
Yes.
Go check out Graylin.
I will.
Right.
Bye for now.
Bye.